I think that command name is hilarious.
Yep.
This is Pure Decking, show number 441 for Thursday, June 17th, 1885. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and the same thing we do every night, Pinky, trying to take over the world. Madman, for the record, sudo make me a sandwich is actually a reference to an XKCD comic. The actual command is sudo space double explanation point, which just reruns the same command. Although I used to make a little a little bash alias of make me a sandwich to sudo bang bang, so that, you know, make me a sandwich was the XKDC comic joke to anyways, yes. So Madman, what are you drinking?
I am drinking water, sadly enough.
It happens to the best of us. Are you? What are you drinking?
I am drinking the sexual exploitations of a cloud.
Ah. Well, I'm not bucking the trend too badly. I am drinking water, but it has been infused with grains, a little bit of alcohol, and then aged in an oaken barrel. So...
you've got organic water.
Yes. Oh. You know, was infused water at 100 proof.
Plant-based water. I just thought of a new fucking... That's a great idea. Plant-based water.
I mean...
That's another name for tea? That's boiled leaf water.
you prove that water didn't come from a plant. I mean...
Exactly. You know, like, plant-based meat. It's all made in a factory. Chemicals.
Oh, boy.
Plant-based meat is not a thing. It's plant.
I know.
It's not plant.
They're litigating that in my country right now. They want to get the word meat taken off plant-based meat.
Okay.
I think they should. But then again, if you can't tell it... If you can't distinguish the difference, but... I think we all saw during the mass panic of last year in buying food what stuff was left on the shelves.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, clearly there's no market there for what they're trying to push.
If your product is left on the shelf in the middle of a panic-induced buying spree,
yep,
all of the meat section is empty except your shit, that should tell you something.
And it wasn't just one supermarket. It was pretty much all supermarkets.
Except for Whole Foods, for some reason. I was actually kind of surprised that those companies didn't pay the stores to go, like, grab the shit off the shelf and just throw it into the dumpster somewhere so that it didn't look like that.
Yeah, the optics was pretty ordinary. But, yeah, good stuff.
So, anyways, a little bit of station news. Decking is going to go on hiatus for probably at least the next 3 weeks. Certainly the next two, because I'm going to be in the thick of it. But you know how it is when you move to a new place and you have to rearrange five or six times, and then you got to get your internet sorted out a couple of times, and I'll probably be redoing my setup a few times. So I'm just going to go ahead now and say 3 weeks just to pad it. If we surprise everybody and come back early, that's great. If things go surprisingly sideways, it might be August. Who knows? We'll see.
Going to soundproof the dungeon. Make sure the neighbors can't see into any of the windows.
Double check the ball gag on the gimps. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things you got to do to make sure the show runs correctly. So, you know, I mean, if nothing else, we have to make sure to test, triple test, and do all of the all of the actual procedure-based tests to keep the emergency
shut up, Wesley
button working, because that's an important button. So, but yeah, no. In all seriousness, I am purchasing land, so it's going to be a bit of a chore to get things sorted out for a bit. So, and unlike the last couple of times I've moved, I'm giving myself ample time to do it, and I don't want any stress, and that includes trying to sit down and figure out the show. Not that doing the show is stressful, but making sure the equipment is set up correctly, making sure that the network is stable, all the little ancillary shit. It's like, you know, I'm just not going to kill myself over it. So we're going to miss a few weeks, probably three. That's just what we're going to be doing. Also, apparently the chat room is dead. yeah, Freenode is... So I guess we can go ahead and go straight into the stories here. You can still get into the chat room on the webpage, but it's not a managed channel anymore. And it appears to be whoever gets in there first gets to be op. So... I did find a good write-up on one of the mailing lists. This one's from deverner.net, where they looks like they've archived something off the mailing list here. But so Freenode had a shit fit. I don't know how else to put it. The people, the guy,
no other
charge,
way to put it.
The guy running Freenode threw a temper tantrum, ran off everyone who was volunteering to help run Freenode, most of them taking their hardware with them, because most of the servers that were running Freenode were volunteer donations. They were not, owned by a Freenode network or ran by companies or something. And the guy who owned all the DNS decided he wanted absolute control over Freenode and had a hissy when he didn't get his way with all the mods. And, basically did the format reinstall. So apparently the guy who wrote all this up did get banned from Freenode. So he was collecting all this information just in one place. But apparently global notices were sent to Freenode announcing that a new Freenode was launched. Global notice one, removing past legacy Freenode onto a new fork. New Freenode is launched. You'll slowly be disconnected, and when you reconnect, you will be on the new Freenode. We patiently await you in Freedom's Holdout, the new Freenode. If you're looking to connect now, you can already /server/chat.freenode.net 6697 or 6667. New Genesis for New Era. Thank you for using Freenode, and hello world from the future. Freenode is IRC. Freenode is FOSS. So this guy really thinks highly of himself. Because apparently you can't run another IRC network. No. when you connect, register your nickname and channel and get started. They wiped the NickServ database. They wiped all the channel registrations. And they kicked everyone off. So anybody running unattended bots, they got knocked off. The one running that Sard set up years ago to run the Galaxy 15 chat room, dead as a doornail. It's gone.
Nope.
And until somebody gets a hold of Sard, awakens him from his drunken stupor and removes the child that is currently smothering him.
I'll attempt to get that fixed this weekend.
I don't know that we want to re-register all this shit with Freenode.
Okay, I'll just let him know then. He probably doesn't have a clue.
I don't know if we want to move to LibreChat or one of the other forks, or maybe explore another option.
We can decide that after the hiatus, I think.
I think so, too. I think that'll be fair, because I want to redo the website at the same time and maybe some other things. I thought about maybe spinning up something like a Mastodon instance and then only offering out to people involved with the station for that kind of thing, but I don't know that I want to deal with it, truth be told, because it's like open source Twitter, but you have to connect it to other servers, and that's kind of weird. I like IRC for a chat because there's a lot of clients out there for it. It's a well-understood standard, and, there's a lot of things out there that it just kind of works with. I don't want to build something that's, like, dependent on the web server or dependent on, granted, we're dependent on Freenode for the IRC, but, you know, it's not like being dependent on YouTube or Facebook or, you know, Twitter or something like that. I want to be on an open system that it's relatively simple to port to a different system if that server gets ornery, or I could set up my own if it comes to it. I'm a little hesitant to set up my own just because I don't want to put a lot of time into adminning this stuff anymore. Back in the day when I set all this stuff up, I loved doing all this, but I wasn't as busy with bullshit back then.
Time goes on, right?
Yeah. So it's like, you know, back in the day when you first start reading about cloud services and Amazon, it's like, why would anybody pay the premium for this? And now I'm looking at it going, you know what? I'm just going to pay. It's easier. So yeah. I totally get it. I like tinkering with the technology, but if it's something that needs to have long-term uptime, I mean, fuck, I wouldn't even be against doing a Squarespace or something to run the main webpage, you know, just like let them handle the security issues, let them handle the updates and the bullshit in the background, or, you know, one of the managed WordPress things, although I don't really want to use WordPress because it's not a blog, you know? There's no real reason to run WordPress. At this point, we're just using it as a CMS, but, you know, historically we were using it as a WordPress, so... But also I'm running into issues with some of my hosting where they're not running up-to-date PHP. So there's probably some vulnerabilities on the back end of the WordPress that I don't want to fuck with. So I want to get off of WordPress. So yeah, there's a couple of things we need to explore for the future of the station. Cue the overlay dramatic music. We're not going away. I just want to make sure that it all works. So anyways, here's the summary on what happened to Freenode. Freenode's new custodians decided they wanted to move from IRCD-7, the IRC server software Freenode has used for years, to INSP-IRCD, and from the A-theme service package to the ANOP service package. Since different IRC daemons generally cannot be linked together for purposes of server-to-server links, this essentially entails a brand new IRC network which is not linked to the old one. In other words, there are now two Freenodes, as an old Freenode running IRCD-7 and the new Freenode running INSP-IRCD. So channel, you know, the same channels are no longer registered, because they did the server swap, and the guys controlling the DNS are deciding what servers they want to be running. So, in other words, Freenode's net split itself on purpose. old service database, registered NICs, channels, etc., is apparently gone. All of your registered names and channels are gone. Anyone who wishes to continue to use Freenode must re-register themselves. In short, there was no effort whatsoever to migrate the service database when migrating from A3 to ANOP. Not only that, this transition happened suddenly with, as far as the author is aware, zero warning. Freenode has simply dropped all the NICs and channel registrations without warning, and I can confirm that because when we logged into the chat room, Madman and I, the bot's gone, I'm the channel op again, which isn't weird, but it wouldn't let me log in, and I didn't bother to re-register because I don't think we're going to stick with Freenode anymore because I don't see why. They're going to have ran so many of the regular users off. I think Libre Chat's probably going to be where it's at. No reason to sink to it, you know, to tie yourself to a sinking ship. But that also means there was a huge opportunity, and this is getting away from the author. This is just me. You now have a huge opportunity for assholes who are faster than the people who are running other IRC channels to come in and quickly register channels that they now control. So, you know, there used to be several different support channels for a bunch of different Linux groups, like Ubuntu had one and Red Hat had one and things like that. So if you were an asshole, you could go re-register the new channel name, you know, as you, and maybe even grab a username of somebody who, you know, you'd like to impersonate, and then you can, you know, wreak all kinds of havoc by when people come into these support channels following links off, you know, documents and web pages and forums and stuff saying, hey, I'm having a problem with such and such. You know, you can just be, well, fuck you, use Windows, you know?
Yeah.
You know, be like the old days of trying to ask for help with Linux. It's like, oh, you didn't read a man page? Yeah, fuck you. Go back to your kiddie toy OS on that Mac. You know,
it's like, yeah.
You know, you could totally troll the hell out of it, which, you know, comedy aside, is really a problem. So I don't know what they were thinking, not transitioning this stuff. That's in an IRC server, the registered NICs and the channel histories are the server. I mean, other than that, it's just a domain name. It's like that's all you kept was the domain name. So I don't get it.
Yeah. Did they at least give a reason on why they wanted to switch backends like that?
No.
It's just the
guy
fucking re and left.
The guy who got control of the DNS for Freenode, because I guess there was an organization that was set up, and this guy was apparently got in charge of it. Just had a shit fit. I don't. That's the thing I don't understand. Freenode is this entire volunteer network. It's like Debian or Linux for that. Well, Linux got a lot of companies that pay people to work on it, but you know, it's one of these open, collaborative, community-based projects, right? And the guy who gets in charge of it has a hissy fit.
They probably got its pronoun wrong.
Oh, I hope that's not what it was. Yeah, so they killed NickServe on the old servers and just... But yeah, so apparently they were, before this happened, the new people who took over Freenode were like going into several popular channels and were de-opping the old ops and making themselves ops and banning people. And so I'm not involved enough in the politics of Freenode because I just had our little channel and that was really all I really did with it anymore. I mean, yeah, back in the day, sure, but this stuff, I don't even know who most of these people are, and it's like, okay, I don't know why you're having a shit fit, but I mean, IRC is already a greatly reduced platform from what it once was back in the heyday, because nowadays most people are going to social network sites to communicate online. They're not using IRC in chat rooms like they used to.
That old Discord.
Discord's taking a huge chunk out of it. Slack.
Yeah.
You know, how many others out there? You know, hell, Slack killed the IRC. They used to have a bridge into IRC back in the day for people who didn't want to use the Slack client. But I kind of want to keep to an open standard like that, so no matter where we host it.
It works, and it's worked for as long as I've been around.
Well, hell, Cykros was connecting to it from his phone, for God's sake. I mean, you know, he would listen to the stream and get on the IRC from his phone. Now, you know, on a modern smartphone, that's not that impressive. But I mean, trying to do shit like that when everything's tied to web apps, or, you know, if we were live streaming on Twitch or YouTube, I know for a fact that YouTube does not multitask very well on phones. On tablets, it's not so bad. But, you know, you try to bounce out of YouTube on, you know, something where it doesn't support it, it'll just kill whatever stream you're listening to. So trying to go back and forth between the chat on a phone, you know, with these proprietary services, like, that's kind of a pain in the ass if the app doesn't support what you're trying to do. Whereas IRC, there's probably 100 apps that'll do it across whatever mobile platform you're on, let alone, you know, desktop. I mean, you could be... That's the nice thing about, you know, streaming an Icecast and using IRC is that you can probably get it all working from whatever oddball OS you're running, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you got an old version of Mac OS running on a 68K processor, it would be impressive to see. More likely, you know, if you got like an old G4 or something, I bet you could get on all this stuff and just be just fine. So that might be a project, build out some classic computers that can connect to some of this stuff. Now I want to see.
But isn't IRC so diverse? I'm not even sure it could be a complete political fight because no one has the same politics. It's fucking IRC. It's whatever chat room you're logging into.
Well, in this case, it's the person running the servers through the Freenode IRC network. So I don't know what triggered all this. I'm not digging through chat logs and, you know, a month worth of mailing lists to try to sort it all out.
No, this, I don't care enough.
The link I've posted is the best summary I've seen because they're showing the swap of the old IRC servers to the new ones and explaining things that went down. But I haven't seen a really good write-up of why this person. I've seen a few Reddit comments where people were discussing it, where apparently the guys running the new IRC wanted everyone to, like, kiss the ring, and I don't know. Of course, this is all hearsay, right? I don't actually know what the fuck happened.
Then again, Morbs, it's another generation coming through, taking over now. Our time is done, man. We're the old. Well, that's what I think it is.
Nobody knows how to work things the old ways anymore. You got to do. Well, it's like, what? The computers are down. What do we do? Get out your pen and paper. What? Nobody knows how to do that. I mean, the pipeline guy actually testified before Congress that nobody knows how to work the pipeline manually anymore. When they got
hacked.
Yeah, it was sad testimony, Madman. When they didn't have a plan B on critical infrastructure, there was no plan B.
Well, keeping it rolling, because we're actually, you know, I've actually ordered the stories well this morning, or when I was going through them. This one's from businessinsider.com. You know, speaking of corporations behaving badly, Amazon burns through workers so quickly that executives are worried they'll run out of people to employ, according to a new report.
Yeah.
It sounds like they either need to be less asshats or more generous.
Boy, you could just open the border and have an unfettered amount of workforce.
You still need competent workforce. I mean, the competency might be minimal, but there is so much you need from a worker. And if you're putting out so much bullshit you can't keep your worker, you have to pay them more. Because the amount of bullshit I'm willing to take is directly proportionate to how hard it is for me to find a job that's paying that amount of money. So if I can just walk out of the building and within a week or four have a job making about the same amount of money, I take no bullshit.
Well, by the logic, Madman, I should have left a few times over. The only problem is the bullshit I'm that's bothering me at work is stuff that I know is going to exist at most places I'm going to go for the kind of work I do. So it's like, well.
Well, then you're not getting rid of the bullshit. You're just taking a slightly different flavor because someone else is crapping.
But what do you expect from Jeff Bezos, man? That dude's a fucking piece of shit. Like a giant piece of shit. In every form.
Maybe that's why he shaved his head, trying to polish the turd.
I mean, the man has zero fucking interest in America. That's all I can think.
Amazon has been hiring hundreds of thousands of workers for roles in its warehouses, which it calls fulfillment centers. But those employees have been quitting almost as fast as they can be hired, according to a huge report from the New York Times published Tuesday. Many of the over 350,000 workers Amazon hired from July to October stayed with the company just days or weeks, the report said. Hourly employees had a turnover rate of 150% every year.
Damn.
I mean, I complain about a turnover rate of 20% in some of my IT teams. 150%?
That means no one waited a year.
Yeah.
If you started in January of last year, nobody you knew is still there.
Or there are, but you've had enough people rotate in and out that it doesn't matter. You know, you know that position has been filled like five or six times that year, kind of thing. Data reviewed by the Times indicated. That led some Amazon executives to worry about running out of hireable employees in the U.S., the report said. Amazon went on an extended hiring spree in 2020 as it attempted to keep up with a massive spike in demand during coronavirus lockdown. As Americans increasingly turned to Amazon for things like toiletries and groceries, the company repeatedly touted major hiring pushes. In May of 2021, Amazon was even offering a $1,000 signing bonus to new employees, partially a symptom of hiring issues that employers are facing in a variety of industries and potentially of Amazon's remarkably high turnover rate. $1,000 signing bonus is not enough to get me to stay more than a few days if the job is shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One former Amazon manager who oversaw human resources efforts focused on warehouse workers compared the situation with worker churn in Amazon warehouses to the use of fossil fuels. We keep using them even though we know we're slowly cooking ourselves, he told the Times. Okay. Amazon.
That is a weird analogy.
Yeah, that's very forced. Amazon representatives didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. But yeah, dude, 150% turnover rate in their warehouses.
Dude, that's insane.
Now we know why we had the article a couple of weeks ago about Amazon dropping the drug test requirements for weed.
Yeah, they're gonna have to lower their standards. So yeah, good luck with that, because you're only gonna get the lowest, dumbest motherfucker to do that job. So you may get some free shit from Amazon that you didn't order coming with your product. You know what I mean? Well,
they might not just necessarily be lower standards, but there are some standards I could see companies doing away with.
For the not being a drug addict.
Not that one. I don't think.
Well,
if
you're in a state
heroin
where weeds
are going to make a good,
if you're
know,
in a state where weed's legal, weed. That's probably one of the easier ones to drop.
But I'm thinking more along the lines of dropping some of the background requirements. Like, if you're working in a warehouse shipping most products, perhaps if you have a felony on your record, it shouldn't matter. Because we have to reintegrate these people anyway.
That could be. Although I'm wondering if Amazon is just going to go the route of going to the private prisons and saying, hey, we need workers for our warehouses.
That, or they'll try and mechanize quicker.
Well, they are doing that.
Well, that's what I mean. They're going to have, they've obviously, they need to put more into R&D for mechanization of their warehouses.
They developed a lot of warehouse robotics already. So that,
oh yeah, man,
me if they keep that up.
That's what they've got to do. Like, if they see that as a long-term threat to their company, is labor shortage, then either lobby the government for open borders or, get to building some better robots.
Actually, that's kind of terrifying. If they make enough automation that you could run an entire Amazon warehouse on nothing but automation, robots, they're not going to just keep that technology for themselves. They're going to sell it, because of course they are. They're Amazon.
Dude, it's just about making
that'll
bottom.
Kill warehouse and delivery jobs. Everywhere.
That's what we're trying to do. Man,
you'll
is obsolete,
nothing like
man.
It. You'll
exactly
nothing like it.
If you haven't figured out by now that you're fucking obsolete before you even start in this world, and you're fucking nowhere, and I don't mean everyone. I mean, you're the average person. You're already obsolete. Even if you're a little better than the next man, you're obsolete. Your job is going away. Deal with it. You're going to have to eventually. Like, Morps, your job is going to go away. May not be in your lifetime, but eventually.
Yeah, they'll, it, well, yes and no. We can talk about the specifics of it, but there are aspects of it that would definitely go away over time.
I understand that, but as I mean, the pool of talent for what you do isn't going to need to be as large. So there'll still be a position for what you do, but in a more observing way. You know, you step in when the AI is not making the right choice. And eventually you'll train yourself out of a job. Mm. Disney did it.
I think, yeah. I think IT jobs will be going away, but not for that reason. I think it's because India is going to ruin that industry.
They have.
Well, largely. But because they're, I looked into it because it was, you know, it was like, what is going on? I was trying to figure out why in the world, how do I explain this without it sounding horribly racist or bigoted?
Imported massive amounts of low skilled labor to replace.
They're not
imported.
No. It's and the ones
exporting.
I'm thinking of. There are Indians living in the States who I've worked with in IT who are good, right? So I don't.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be the ones who are actually stateside. It's all the remote ones that are just
fucking terrible.
Well, the phrase I tend to use is utterly useless, because. And I don't mean it as, I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that they're Indians, other than it's their education system. And this is what I was digging into, because when I've got people we've hired stateside who are Indian, they've been fine. We've had some really good ones. Man, that really sounds categorical when I say that.
You're fucking pigeonholing yourself here. It doesn't matter whether it's fucking Indians, Chinese, Japanese. It's just a fucking group of people.
Okay,
fair enough. That are named.
Fair enough.
There's good, no fucking evil connotations here. If you want to use the word, because that's what they fucking are.
They're from India.
You're tying
yes.
yourself up in knots as to not identify.
I've been trying to
people.
Figure out how to have the conversation at work without getting in trouble. Believe me, it's hard.
But, dude, it's because they're a bunch of oversensitive cunts.
That's
even
true.
If they were talking about New Zealanders, it doesn't fucking matter. It's just a group of people and where they come from.
But all
you're generalizing.
All of the remote contractors that I've had to deal with require so much hand-holding and guidance. It's like we hired these people to do Linux admin work, and I'm having to write up multiple page instructions for things that should be basic Linux administrative tasks. It's like I could have done the work myself three times over by the time I got the contractors to do it. And anytime you ask them to do something, they ask you for a full list of, you know, basically you have to. You have to basically build everything for them, and then they hit the run button. It's like, what's the value in that? And you ask them to problem solve. They can't do it. And what's happened, and this is what I looked into, and we're totally off tangent now, but it's fine. Because I was doing some digging, trying to figure out what's going on, and it turns out the Indian education system pushes as many people as they can into IT, because that's one of their most lucrative industries, and it's still growing because you have all the contracts over there. So what's happening is basically everyone in India who can pass, you know, basic college courses is getting pushed into IT, whether it's what they want to do or not, or what they're even particularly good at or not, because that's where the money is right now. So you have a whole bunch of people who don't give a toss, aren't that interested, and just see it as a I push a button, I get a paycheck, you know, thing, that they flooded the industry. And of course, everyone hires them because they're so damned cheap.
Yep.
And it's ruining my industry because, one, I fully admit it, I have a hard time following some of their accents. Some of them aren't so bad. Some of them, oh my God, I cannot understand a word they're saying. And it's English. Like, you get that one word every once in a while that reminds you that it's English. And it's like, how do I say to people that I can't understand what they're saying without somebody losing their shit? but anyways.
I had the same problem with a Welshman. He's like, I invented English. I'm like, you're not speaking English.
Yeah.
You speak Welsh.
My Scottish boss was the same. Whenever he'd get a little excited, I fucking couldn't hear a word of what you say, dude.
Yeah.
Good guy, just,
like, you know, it's all over WebEx with spotty connections, so it's just like, you know, might as well be using a ham radio with a really thick accent. It's just like, oh my God, I don't know what's happening. And then I've got coworkers who tune right in on it because they've worked with them for so long that they're used to it, and it's just like, I've got one coworker who she can tell what region of India they're from their accents. She's worked with them so much. And it's like, why is it only India that we're seeing all these contracting places from? Well, their whole system has got built up around it because that's been a very lucrative industry for them. So I don't know if there's not other things going on over there or what. But it's
a way of propping up their emerging middle class by having large, vast workers overseas sending money home.
Okay.
Probably part of the economic strategy, like a lot of Latin American countries. They rely on workers in the United States to send money back to make their economy work.
So, anyways, I mean, that was a complete tangent, but when I looked up, you know, what was, you know, started digging into seeing what was going on, I fully admit the Google searches were, why are so many Indian contractors terrible? I mean, that's what I was trying to find, right? And that's where I found the articles talking about the education system just pushing everyone into it, whether they want to do IT work or not. And so that's, I think, part of the problem is you've got a bunch of people who are probably better suited for something else. I don't know what it would be, but something else. But they're pushing to IT work because that's the only thing that they can.
Well, it's not that they're not capable of doing it. It's their educational standard is lacking the idea of promotion of free thought and expression and going outside the bubble.
I see that too. That might be why they always ask for full write-ups of everything, is they don't want to have to be responsible for having solved a problem.
And yeah. It's not necessarily just that. If it's a bunch of people with no interest in the job being funneled into it,
yeah,
then
that too.
They're not going to go above and beyond. Like, one thing that made you good at your job, Morps, is you have an interest in this. So whereas other people go to work and then get home and play video games, read a book, or whatever, your idea of fun was, I want to build a network out of this junk I have lying around at my house and figure out how to break it, how to put it together, what's the newest fad, whatever, because that's your fun. And luckily, that translates into what you do, so you might be above average intelligence, but when it comes to computing, you might be shooting at the genius level because you're passionate about it. If I don't like my job and I just got it because it was the cheapest four-year degree that gives a decent pay, I'm not going above and beyond. I'm doing the minimum to keep it.
McDonald's worker.
But this is where we ask the great question then, Medman. Are you doing the minimum to keep your job right now? Or...
slightly more.
Okay. I'm just having fun. I don't mean anything by that, but
it's cool.
It's just so frustrating when simple stuff and it takes a month of phone calls and write-ups and anyways, I should stop complaining about work and get back to the stories here.
Yeah, back to Amazon. Did they just gripe about how much they suck, or has someone come up with a plan for employee retention?
They have no plan. I think it's like you said, they're just going to have to start offering more money or start fixing some of the bullshit.
That's terrible management.
What did you expect?
I expect something that's becoming one of the world's largest retailers, if not the largest retailer, to have competent upper management, if only mediocre middle management. And if they have 150% turnover rate, that's something that they can't wait for automation to fix.
Or make the economy so shitty that it's actually worth taking that shit for the job, you know, because there's nothing else going.
Well, I mean,
yeah, but that's
China.
Also shooting your own business in the foot.
If you're still making the same amount of profits, who cares? Okay.
But if their sales are dropping, they're not making the same amount of profit.
They'll never make what they made in 2020, man. Well, they may now that their small business is completely fucking gone.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing driving around town because I've been getting out a lot more. Especially with the move and stuff like that. And, all the little restaurants I used to go to for lunch, you know, with work and stuff like that, they're gone. Yep. All the little mom and pop shops are gone. Now, the big chains are still there. All the franchises and chains and stuff like that are still up. But
they're going to teach about this in history classes. What happened?
The start of the Great Reset.
It'll be taught very poorly, but they'll talk about it. How a country went through a revolution in 2 years.
So what's the next story on the pipeline?
Next story is from also Business Insider. Did I screw up and do... I did. I normally try to bounce between sites when I have multiple stories from the same sites. I guess I didn't. In this case, but this one's Business Insider India. That's kind of what got me going down the India thing as I was looking ahead at the next story. And Twitter may now be directly held responsible for every single tweet in India.
That just means Twitter's thinking about leaving India.
Yeah. Yeah. Twitter's failure to comply with the Indian government's new IT rules has raised questions about its intermediary status in the country. As an intermediary, Twitter is just the middleman. But if it loses that protection, the platform could directly could directly be responsible for all the posts on its platform. That means that if tomorrow the government decides that a particular tweet is not compliant with the law of the land, the social media platform will have to explain its role. In addition, the user who posted the tweet, Twitter itself could be held liable for the content under the Information Technology Act 2000 and the country's penal laws. However, according to the Internet Freedom Foundation, the intermediary status of the social media platforms is only a technical qualification. According to Section 79 of the IT Act, Twitter and other intermediaries will still be immune from liability, but they comply with the legal takedown requests of user posts from courts and public authorities. So in other words, if they take the posts down, they won't be held liable. Moreover, organizations like the Software Freedom Law Center and individuals like musician T.M. Krishana have challenged the new IT rules for being unconstitutional. According to them, the new rules violate the fundamental rights of Indian citizens, like the freedom of speech, freedom to practice any profession, and the right to privacy and others. The underlying assertion is that the new IT rules are not in line with the existing IT Act of 2000. Quote, we're keeping MITI, Ministry of Electronics and IT, apprised of progress at every step in the process. An interim chief compliance officer has been retained, and details will be shared with the ministry directly soon. Twitter continues to make every effort to comply with new guidelines, unquote, the Twitter spokesperson said in a statement. U.S.-based Twitter, along with Facebook, Google, WhatsApp, and others, had until May the 26th to meet the requirements of being a significant social media intermediary in the country. These significant platforms, classified as those with more than 5 million users, are required to appoint a grievance officer, a nodal officer, and a chief compliance officer, and the people occupying all three posts must be Indian residents. Twitter had earlier stated that it was, quote, concerned about the security of its employees in the country and intimidation tactics being used by the government, like visiting its offices, even though everyone was working from home, in order to deliver a notice. the Modi administration did not take kindly to the underlying assertions by the Jack Dorsey-owned firm. In a letter to Twitter last month, the government asked the social media platform to, quote, stop beating around the bush. While Twitter and other platforms asked for an extension to comply with the new IT rules, the microblogging site was the only holdout as the May 26th deadline came and went. Twitter was also spotted putting out job offers for the positions of nodal officer and resident grievance officer online. 1 month later, it looks like Twitter finally has to give in. The company has also been asked to appear before a parliamentary panel on June 18th over misuse concerns. So I think Madman's right. I think Twitter's just going to abandon India. Because it sounds like the Indian government is going after them hard.
I don't know how much I would disagree with... if you're going to have a presence in that country, that have people from that country that know its laws.
I don't know that I disagree with that, but I do think it gets difficult, right? So there's nothing to stop you from going to galaxy15radio.com in India. Now, I don't have their 5 million user benchmark, but... let's say they didn't have that benchmark. Could India require me to have 3 employees because I have a website that's reachable in India?
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just using myself as an example since I have a
website. That's what I'm saying. Like, until it becomes a problem, there's no point fucking daydreaming on it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, just for... I don't know. No, they could log into the IRC so they could actually interact with us if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't have a employee. It's a hobby website. How would I have 3
That's
in
India? That's what I mean. Like, you can't subject a hobbyist to the same laws as corporate.
Law's a law.
Well, that's my point, though, is how do you separate out? I think that's where they came from. That's where they got the 5 million user watermark, but... or I guess benchmark would be a better term, but which is not a bad way to do it. If you have X number of users on your platform, you're no longer just a service. At that point, you're becoming almost a utility at that point.
My argument from their standpoint is, if we're obeying your regulations, why should it matter where our employees are? Because, yeah, if they're in compliance with whatever speech code India has, then why should it matter where their compliance officer is, so long as they're doing their job?
I don't know. I don't have answers. I just find it fascinating, and I'm curious to see where all this shakes out, because one of the reasons these governments are going after the social media platforms and not people posting on those platforms is, well, the people running the platforms have money. Most likely the people posting on the social media don't, or at least not enough to be worth, you know, going after.
Yeah.
So
I think the sad truth is, you nailed it, man.
But, because, I mean, who cares about what some user posts if they're just some dude in a coffee shop on a cell phone, right? But if you can go after Twitter, well, I mean.
Yeah.
Because in part of me wants to say a lot of these social media platforms should be treated like the phone company, except the social media platforms themselves don't act like the phone company. Yeah. When was the last time somebody got banned from the phone, you know, from having a phone number because they said offensive things over the phone?
Yeah, they're not acting like a utility. They shouldn't get the protections. They're acting like the New York Times. So yeah, make them liable for what's being said on there.
Well, and that's kind of my point. If you're going to say it's a utility, you can't kick people off of it. You know, one of the things with this whole India fight going back and forth, which I don't think we covered on Decking, but they tried to say that, you know, access to Twitter is a human right, and then they had a whole bunch of people say, so you banned Milo, you banned Trump, you banned Alex Jones. Why are you infringing on their human rights?
So, yeah, they didn't respond to that. I saw it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a great argument, but if you are going to be a utility, you need to function like one. And, you know, if you're going to get those kind of governmental protections, then congratulations, you're now a government agent. You're subject to government rules, which in this case means First Amendment, at least in the States. Don't know how that works in India, truth be told, but, yeah, I don't know.
And I hate the idea of calling it a human right. It's not. Hell, electricity isn't a human right. And I live in a world where I believe you need electricity, but it's not a human right. A human right is something that people have to actively take away from you. Like, my right to speech, you have to forcibly shut me up. Now, I might not be able to talk to you over a distance, but I can go out to the street corner and yell.
You underestimate the amount of rope we have.
But, Twitter is a service they're providing, so they can have some rules on it. But what annoys me is they're editorializing, but they're not being held to standards that we at least used to hold newspapers to and loosely do now. If I say something libelous and it's printed in the New York Times and they're not quoting me, I'm actually just writing for them and putting out libelous articles, they can be sued. Twitter can't be sued. That's a protection they have. So let everyone on there. That's why you have that protection. If you're kicking people off, then yeah, take away that protection.
Ready for the next article? This one involves Aryu's stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Yes, and he can actually answer some of the questions I had that we couldn't get answered with the India one. Like, what rules were they violating?
Well, this one's even better. This one's from Gizmodo. Australian cops spy on COVID check-in app despite promises from the government. Police in Western Australia have accessed private data from the state's COVID-19 check-in app at least twice to aid in criminal investigations, despite promises the app would only be used to contact trace. The revelations are likely to make people think twice before using the app, a public health tool that's compulsory at all retailers, though the mandate is only loosely enforced. So they wrote a law saying if you're a retailer, you have to tell everyone to use the COVID check-in apps, but don't worry, it's only for contract tracing in case somebody gets COVID. And now the cops are using it to figure out where people were.
Yeah. Why do the cops have access to this?
They're not meant to.
A health agency.
They're not meant to, man.
A larger percentage health agency than we have.
They weren't meant to access it. Those cops should be criminally prosecuted, but they won't be.
I'm
just wondering why it was even on a network that they could access.
They lobbied for it,
I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's called the NHS in your country, but you have a version of the NHS.
Yeah,
and it should have just been in the NHS.
We have an integrated health system. Yeah, we have an integrated health system. I opted into it when it first came out because I thought it was a good thing to be able to have your medical history available at fingertip. I understand the privacy and that, things like that. That's a big concern for me, and you guys know that's a big concern for me to opt into it. Didn't take much thought at all because at the end of the day, I have a road accident or something like that. I want my doctor to know my history of, you know, back problems, things like that, so they don't do something to fuck me up even worse. So that was a yes for me, but I moved to GPs about 6-8 months ago. And I just said to him, look, dude, it's all should be available. And he showed me what my my government page looked like. There was no information about me whatsoever, not even my age. So I don't know what they've done. I haven't integrated it yet. But this one seems to be the only one they are managing to track people with that the cops are using.
Western Australia, a state of roughly 2.6 million people, launched the SafeWA app in late 2020 to make it easier for contract tracers to track down possible infections after a case of COVID-19 has been identified by the country, or by the, or, I'm sorry, I read that wrong, has been identified in the community. But there were public promises made by the state government that any information collected by the app would be private. Police defended the use of the data by saying it's all in the fine print, adding that they're trying to track down witnesses to the murder of a local motorcycle gang leader, Nick Martin. An unnamed 34-year-old man has been arrested and charged with the murder, and the accused can't be named because of a court suppression order that's not uncommon in Australia. Oh, so you have secret courts all the time then?
When it comes to bikers and stuff like that, yeah, they're constantly doing that because pretty sure they've got embedded people in those bikie gangs, knocking people out. But, there's, since the Wu flu and you can't cross states, it's hard to move stuff around. There's a huge underground war going on between, certain groups over drug supplies right now. Somebody was executed last night in Melbourne.
Well, considering how hard it must be to get ammo in your country with the firearms ban, I mean, if somebody was executed, kind of makes...
Oh, dude, so that's why I say you get shot in this country, you fucking did something. Like, yeah, you fucking did something. It's very random that someone will just shoot someone for shits and giggles. If someone puts lead into you, the community doesn't give a fuck because you generally did something that warranted that shot.
The question isn't why did he shoot him? It's what did you do to deserve it?
Exactly. Like, there's no fear in this area today where this man was publicly executed. The public are completely fine. They didn't do shit. So they have no fear of being publicly executed. This dude was up to, he was a well-known underground fucking gangster. He fucked someone over, he got killed. That's how it works. We don't have, you know, the random spree shooter because ammunition's hard to get. You want to kill someone, you're going to pay for it.
So I have quotes in the rest of the article from the, you know, people involved. What I should do is have RU read them so he could do the proper accent, but we're not going to do that mainly because I know RU's not going to pull it up. But anyways, I accept that people don't always read fine print on insurance policies or whatever. And this is a very important principle, but the police have only got information twice out of the 240 million transactions, and they were exceptional circumstances, and it is lawful, unquote, Western Australian Police Commissioner Chris Dawson told local radio stations. Quote, police have a duty to investigate crime, unquote, Dawson continued. Quote, and we're talking about a man who was shot in a public arena with allegedly high-powered weapon, and other people were injured, unquote. Local politicians introduced legislation on Tuesday night to make sure police can't access data in the future, but that's likely cold comfort to any privacy alert Australians who believe they were doing something for the safety of the community. Quote, I said we'd like that to stop. The police responded that it's lawful under the law. Lawful under the law. The Department of Redundancy Department.
They use the special circumstances law.
Yeah.
It's not really a law, but it's special circumstances. We did it. What are you going to fucking do to us?
Well,
that's what they're citing.
It's the same problem Canada has with their Bill of Rights, in that almost all of them have a special circumstances exemption. So everything is a special circumstance.
Circumstance.
It's like when we try to do change control at work and you have an exception for emergency situations. Well, that just means everything's not an emergency.
I've had probably one confrontation about not signing in for the app. Like, I walk past the thing. Lady goes, oh, you need to put your phone up to the thingy and sign in.
And here it comes.
And I ain't got a phone, love, and just kept walking. She didn't have a challenge or anything, but no one's ever prompted me otherwise.
Well, I mean, what would they do if you said, look, I don't have a phone?
I don't know, man, because half the business owners don't give a fuck because it's tyranny, and they know it is. To force everybody to sign into your business, unlike American businesses who seem to just love this idea of having to check everyone in and shit like that, but Australia doesn't seem to be as interested in forcing people to do anything.
I haven't checked in a single business the entire time COVID lockdown has happened.
They're not. I watched a man get beaten with a baseball bat for not wearing a mask yesterday.
There's states where it's different, Madman, from where we are.
Yeah.
New York, California are probably the two biggest. Although they've actually had a lot of COVID cases, so I'm sure there is a lot of panic-induced bullshit going on. We'll just put all the sick people with the old people in the homes, and that'll solve the problem.
Michigan.
It's a virus that was paid for by America and released by China.
And it didn't come with a fucking egg roll. I wanted the combo. Fried rice and an egg roll. Fuck you.
And I don't know why Fauci's not being indicted.
Well, I mean, he clearly lied to Congress. I mean, they've got that proof, so...
Fuck, there are a lot of the dude.
He didn't get prosecuted after the AIDS epidemic shit. So
the owner of Health Alliance needs to be fucking prosecuted too. So anyway, nothing will happen.
He's got friends somewhere because I mean he got away with a lot of bullshit. And like we've talked about before, I don't blame them for stuff that happened at the beginning of 15 days to flatten a curve, a year ago. I don't blame them for the beginning because they truly didn't know. But well, now we've had a year of data and we've got vaccines and it's like, come on, guys.
Clearly Fauci fucking knew, and so did the Health Alliance guy. The emails prove that.
Yeah.
They knew they'd fucked up with gain of function research and they were doing everything to prevent anyone finding out.
Well, it's also because gain of function research has such a poor reputation, but there are legitimate reasons to do it. You know, trying to figure out what the next pandemic, what the next flu virus or the next, COVID or whatever it is going to be. There are legitimate reasons to do it. But if you're going to do game of function research, it better not be a slapstick laboratory where you're hoping the duct tape and the Home Depot, paint tarps are going to keep the damn virus from escaping.
Anyway, moving right along. Getting hungry.
Australia doesn't do least access is what I've learned.
I do want to read this quote because
go for it.
It's amazing. It's from one of your politicians. I said that we'd like that to stop. The police responded that it's lawful under the law. We can't not do things that are lawful under the law. The state's top political official, Mark McGowan, said at a press conference on Wednesday, therefore, we've decided to legislate to make sure that the situation is totally clear. What the fuck is that? We can't do things that are not lawful under the law. You said nothing.
Not do anything.
Yeah, you've literally said nothing while taking up time and energy. Congratulations, you are officially a waste of space.
Welcome to Australian politics, where everything they say is bullshit. They've been caught short.
So
they're
tying it to vaccine hesitancy in the article and a few other things that I don't really want to get into. But yeah, so apparently in Australia they're digging into the COVID tracing apps now for. Anyways, it's
for non-tracing purposes,
violating your privacy.
I wish I still had the other the one sound clips we used to have of brought to you by Australia, and I could dive back in, but I'm not going to mess with the soundboard because this one's not very stable. It's crashed on us how many times doing the show, so. But I'm going to rebuild it as part of it our downtime. So I'm either going to set up a piece of dedicated hardware to be the soundboard, or at least pick some better software since this stuff isn't as stable as I'd like. The problem is that it works well enough most of the time. So, anyways, next article is one RU sent me. Irish police to be given powers over passwords. It's from the BBC. Irish police will have people to compel, or the power to compel people to provide passwords for electronic devices when carrying out a search warrant under new legislation. Change is part of the Socia Bill produced by Irish Justice Minister Heather Humphreys on Monday. Gardaí will also be required to make a written record of a stop and search. This will enable data to be collected so the effectiveness and use of the powers can be assessed. Special measures will be introduced for suspects who are children and suspects who may have impaired capability. The bill will bring in longer detention periods for the investigation of multiple offenses while being investigated together in a maximum of up to 48 hours. It will also allow for a week's detention of suspects in human trafficking offenses, which are currently subject to a maximum of 24 hours detention. Quote, the law in this area is currently very complex, spread across common law, hundreds of pieces of legislation, constitutional and EU law, unquote, the minister said. Quote, bringing it together, we will make use of police powers by Gardaí clear, transparent, and accessible. The aim is to create a system that is both clear and straightforward for Gardaí to use and easy for people to understand what powers Gardaí can use and what their rights are in those circumstances. At the same time, we are proposing to extend additional powers to Gardaí. We are also strengthening safeguards. The bill will have a strong focus on fundamental rights and procedural rights of the accused. I believe this will maintain a crucial balance. Okay, the quote's useless. Basically, Irish police will have the ability to demand your password on the spot if they have a warrant or a warrant equivalent situation. They're supposed to make a note that they force you to give over your passwords so that they can assess it later. But yeah, basically Irish police can compel you on the spot to give up your passwords. So what happens when you say that's not my phone or I don't remember my password? I haven't used that computer in a year.
Another reason to get in the habit of not taking your phone with you.
It's going to be like
just get a landline. I'm hearing your philosophy is I have a landline.
I'm hearing you should start carrying two phones, like people who carry mugger's wallets.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, here's my phone, officer. See all the photos of kittens and puppies and the web browsing history of Christian websites.
Your only problem is, this is with a warrant or probable cause, so they're already searching you. So do you have the phone in your pocket and the phone in your ass?
Well, it's not a stopwatch, a wristwatch. So I don't know that you'd want to keep it up there for years at a time. Yeah, I think RU's option of only carrying a phone when you absolutely need it might be the best way.
Or have a phone that you that's yours, and then just have your burner that you take with you when you go out. Yeah, an old Nokia or something. It's not even a fucking smartphone.
Yeah, here you go, officer. Crack it in half when you're done with it for me, would you? I usually do it, but since you guys have it. It's like, why? Well, I watched Breaking Bad, and it was just cool watching him take the burner phone and crack it in half, you know. It's like, does that accomplish anything? Not really. I mean, you're breaking the display. You guys could open it up and get the SIM card and the memory chip out of it, so it does nothing to crack it in half. But, you know, hey, it looks cool.
Just prevents other people from using it. I mean, I don't want to give somebody a free phone. I'm a dick.
I mean, I could, you know, if I'm letting other people use my phone, I could be spreading COVID, officer. You wouldn't want me to spread COVID because I'm handing out my phone. That's why I'm wearing this mask. It's not to hide from the, you know, facial identity cameras. It's because I'm scared of the woohoo.
Oh, I don't think they have a protection against compelled speech.
They've done terrible things
in
that country.
Oh, they'd be in the British courts, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the only real argument that the U.S. really has is me telling you my password would be compelled speech, even if you have a warrant enabling you to access my things.
Well, the other is that it establishes ownership of the device.
Yeah, but if you're walking around with a phone in your pocket, it's pretty much up to you to prove that it's not your phone.
Was it me? I just found that in the gutter and thought it looked cool.
Similar to, yeah, I know it's the murder weapon, Your Honor, and it was in my pocket with my fingerprints on it, but I swear it belongs to O.J. Simpson.
I have jokes to make, but frankly, it's not worth it. So,
yeah, if it's on you, it's never really been up to the cops to prove it's yours. It's up to you to prove it's not. Now, I could see in a house being more of an argument because you could always say somebody left it instead of, you know, it's not my phone that was in my pocket.
What about in a car?
In a car?
Where there's only one person in the car.
Look, I'll give you a quick, easy way to stop them instantly from looking at your phone. Just let them know before you give them the password that on that phone you have evidence that would convict Hillary and Bill Clinton in a court of law.
Oh, my God, he killed himself.
Yeah, they will drop that phone and fucking run.
Bang, bang. Oh, my God, he killed himself. Go ahead, Madman, then we'll do the Facebook story and call it a night.
Oh, I was going to go with, I know in the States it's pretty much assumed to be yours unless a passenger pipes up and says it's mine. That's why if you know somebody that's a meth addict and usually carries, don't let them in your car because you can lose your car.
I have a story for you from when I was on federal jury duty that they made the argument that it wasn't their jacket. There was nobody else in the car.
Yeah.
It's like. But that's where most of the drugs they found on them were. So it's like, it's been 10 years. I can talk about this shit, right?
I'm fine with it.
As long as there's no names.
Yeah, I don't remember the dude's fucking name. But yeah, jury duty. And, you know, you want to do the whole racism angle? Out of the 100 and some odd people they brought in and all the officers of the court and all the police, the only black man in the room was the defendant.
So? Doesn't prove shit.
No, it doesn't. But he was guilty as fuck. They had him on camera confessing to half of it.
And how is that racist?
It's not.
Motherfucker had drugs.
It's not. That's the funny joke of the thing. But if he had got, if his lawyer had thought to get the ACLU or something, because his lawyer pointed it out in the middle of court. It's like, call the ACLU and declare a mistrial. You'll get it.
It was the same on my court case when the woman who was accusing a man of rape brought in her girlfriend. I give a flying fuck if you're a lesbian. You know, this is a he said, she said case. That's have no bearing.
It's like all
on,
you got to do
that.
Is show that he's the only black man in the room. You'll get your fucking mistrial.
I do have a question. Can I sniff his jacket?
There was somebody else on the jury who literally said black. It was a little Asian lady said black people had a certain smell. And she did. She smelled the jacket and said it belonged to a black man.
Oh, that is the jury annulment right fucking there, dude. That
Well, we never presented that part as part of the argument to the judge. But
we found
wine corks. They didn't present everything that was in the jacket, by the way. We found wine corks and like the end of a syringe in it. And it's like, yeah, I mean, and of course he was arrested on a January evening wearing a party shirt, and that was the only jacket in the car. It was his fucking jacket. I mean, dude,
don't
was a drug dealer.
Honor. Ling Ling here.
Ling Ling is a qualified sniffer dog. We've been using Ling Ling and the Coonhound for years. He'll sniff you out of darkie and 300 feet in the middle of the dark. Fucking racist.
It was rather awkward being the only person on the jury who understood why they spent so long explaining that the gun that he had on him was not manufactured in the state. Because nobody else understood. You know, several people said, why are they going into all this? They're like, yeah, I don't know. So I said, because that's the only way the federal government can regulate a firearm. And everyone looks at you like you're the alien. It's like
you don't know about the Interstate Commerce Clause?
It's like,
and Ling Ling gives a better happy ending than the coon dog. I'll have to
it's
next
like,
story. Next story.
Are you going to contest the rocket snail, or are we going to go?
It's just a rocket snail, man. I'll end up saying more heinous shit.
Well, that's why people listen. You're an hour and 10 minutes in. You know what you're getting at
Ling
this
Ling
point.
The coon dog.
Last story I have is from The Verge. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Facebook is putting ads into the Oculus Quest games.
Yeah.
We knew this was coming.
It was gone. It's already, like, that's just... It's already in a lot of games, but
yeah,
we'll see how far it goes.
They put them in the mobile app last month. Now they're going to start putting them in the actual VR games. Quote, once we see how this test goes and incorporate feedback from developers and community, we'll provide details on when ads may become more broadly available across the Oculus platform and the Oculus mobile app. They're basically going to keep you. They're going to use all the same data that they've got signed into your Facebook profile. As well as whether you viewed content, activated, installed, or subscribed to an Oculus app, added an app to your cart or wish list, or if you've initiated checkout or purchased an app on the Oculus platform, and lastly, whether you viewed, hovered, saved, or clicked on an ad within a third-party app. Hovered means they're tracking your mouse movements, or the equivalent of mouse in VR. So, yeah. Have fun with that one, kids.
That's bullshit. I mean, you could tastefully do product placement in a video game. Let's say you're running through Grand Theft Auto VR version and you're ducking behind a Coke machine. Fine. Coke machines exist. It's product placement that doesn't break the video game.
Yeah.
But if I'm playing Skyrim and a fucking car commercial comes on, not only am I killing a dragon, I'm driving to a Ford dealership and setting something on fire.
Well,
dragon brought to you by Doug's Hyundai. Doug's Hyundai open Sundays.
The part that bothers me about it is it's going to be like Android ads. I don't know if anybody else has seen that on mobile, where you click a fucking game and it brings up the full screen mobile ad that you have to find the magic pixel to close so that it doesn't take you to the app store and try to start installing 20 things. So
I'm just wondering if putting on a Trojan condom ribbed for her pleasure is defense or attack.
Depends on whether or not it's a surprise attack. That's all I got. No Digital Dojo tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 Radio... Well, I say every Thursday. We're going to take a three-week hiatus. Galaxy 15 Radio site and subreddit. The IRC is dead at the moment. Thank you, Freenode. We'll figure that out when we come back. Madman, closing thoughts.
They're trying to brainwash us in VR. Don't buy an Oculus Rip.
No, I wouldn't buy an Oculus headset at this point. I have a Quest 1. I'm waiting on the jailbreaks to come out, but I would not buy an Oculus headset at this point. Are you? Closing thoughts.
I'm just sitting here obsessed with Ling Ling the Coon Dog and wondering if I should make this a cartoon.
Sorry, I'm white! I'm sorry, I'm male! Why? Why am I a monster?
I don't know what else to put to that. Okay, that's it. Sound effect time.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Time to go nose down and call it a night.
Well, of course, just another afternoon of surfing the internet for hardcore porn with your kids.
Shut up, Wes.